They're checking cherubim pots by torchlight down the daily. Chatter boys are tying paternosters at Cullen Bay. Tinnies are being towed to target on the Arnhem Highway. Over in Gove, they're rigging up teasers for the big boys. There's an air of anxious optimism at harbourside boat ramps in the pre-dawn gloom. And in the suburbs, Smith.
What?
Moore.
What? Where?
Get out of bed and get on with it.
Good morning, fishos, and welcome aboard the Tinny on a morning where we look back on last week and say, maybe too early. Maybe too early. It's all looking good. We're all very excited. We're all towed up. Towed up as three bears. But it's all just a little bit early. It's going to go. It's going to be good. I know last week I said, go, go, go. But what I meant was go, go, go in a week or maybe two. Because it's looking bloody good and it's going to be bloody good, but not just like, well, not last week. Maybe this week is the go, 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 go. But it's, I'm sure you won't be surprised, Fisho, to learn that we, or maybe me in particular, went a bit early. Went off a bit premature. But that's just the way it is because the build-up, the titillation, the excitement, the stimulation has just got to a point where we couldn't stand it anymore and we just needed release. We needed release. We had to go. We had to bloody go. But then nothing happened. And then in the quiet time afterward, when you're having a little bit of a cigarette, you think, well, maybe... maybe that wasn't as good as we thought. Have I gone a bit far there, Tim?
Look, I think...
trying to paint a picture.
Look, many of us shot off too early. There is no doubt about that. And we're disappointed in ourselves.
Yeah.
But we should know better.
Yeah.
We should know better. Perhaps next week we should go, go, go. Perhaps next month we should go, 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 Robert. It's known as February fever.
Mm.
It's known as February fever.
And I hark back to a number of times over the years, speaking to wise old souls such as Wayne Buffalo Ross and George Vukolos and so on. They say, in the old days, we never fished March. Maybe the end of March. We didn't even bother doing anything in February. It's just that now, I think the difference is, of course, in those days, there wasn't the access. You just couldn't get to the places because the roads were so crap.
And you can in February
you
now.
You can now. There's more people. We're just towier. We just want more.
Well, the other thing is, Rob, that was a bloody long monsoon. Mm. Now, that was 4 to 5 weeks of it at least.
Mm.
And so this window this weekend, I can't see how you could possibly resist.
Oh, absolutely.
Good morning on Tales from the Tinny. Tim and Rob with you this morning, by the way, on 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs. A couple of those overwhelmed by the fever. A couple of shout-outs to Houston and Teaborg this morning.
Houston, Teaborg?
Houston and Teaborg. They're on their way to the Mary.
All right. That sounds like a TV program in the waiting.
Doesn't it? Like hey? Starsky
good
and Hutch.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Starsky and Hutch.
One drives a flash sort of vehicle and is like... very, you know.
Woos the ladies.
Woos the chicks. The other one's got the beat-up old thing with hamburger wrappers in it.
Yeah.
But they're both hard-ass.
Yeah. Houston and Teeble.
Both fighting for justice.
Their envisioning of the trip during the week has bordered on full-blown erotic fantasy.
True.
I mean, it's so similar to what you've described earlier. They've even given this weekend's mission a title, a sort of overarching theme. Inspired, I think, no doubt, by our discussion last week about the value of the black and white old school thong, Rob, and its durability.
The double plug.
Their trip is simply entitled, "They Don't Make Them Like They Used To." An overarching...
the runoffs.
A sort of guiding philosophy. So encapsulating that theme,
They're going in a 12-foot tinny with a beat-up 15 Jono.
Yep. Eskies only have beer, little to no food, overnighter, no tarps. Mozzie don't, so stepped it up a bit. They don't make them like they used to.
Is that true? About the tinny?
Oh, no, it's not a 12-footer.
Okay.
But it's going to be rough and it's going to be rugged.
Good on them. They got tight stubbies?
Oh, yeah. Little SANFL or VFL tight little...
None
you're not talking about the shorts.
We're talking about... we're talking about the cotton
ones. Oh, yeah, the genuine stubbies.
The genuine stubbies.
The King G-like operation as opposed to the footy shorts.
That's right. None of this nylon stuff. Just good old hard-working cotton.
I reckon amongst crews like Houston and Teaborg and Starsky and Hutch, dynamic duos heading out to places like the Mouth of the Mary this weekend, it could be tough, it could be rugged, but the weather at least is looking fairly reasonable, isn't it? Mm. I mean, the rain's nicked off. The Bureau's telling us southeast to southwest winds 5 to 10 knots.
Oh,
look at that!
That's sweet as.
Before an afternoon west to northwest sea breeze of 10 to 15 with seas to a metre.
That says go to the mouth, doesn't
it?
Oh,
man, that is absolutely gorgeous. And what
any of the big rivers.
What a great window for the blue water as well. The tides are... I thought they were supposed to be neepish. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, yep.
6.2 metre high.
Three tide day tomorrow, I believe, is it?
Monday. 6.2 high at 10:30 this morning, dropping to a low of 3 metres at 4 o'clock. The Savo and the neap tide tomorrow with about 2 metres of movement. And more details from the Bureau at 10:30 this morning, as per the usual. But in terms of the big rivers or the blue... stay tuned over the next couple of hours because we've got flat-out reports, Rob. Chris Arity's been down the mouth of the south just after the Arnhem Highway opened. Captain Waddy's been to Shady for 2 days last weekend.
Saw a beautiful silver fish on Faceache that the captain was proudly hoisting aloft.
We'll head down to the Daily, down to Wooliana. And Jace, another bloke we talk to every now and again on the tinny, has taken the Barra Botel around to Sampan and spent a week there.
Okay.
So some really, really good reports. Steve Compayne from Arafura Blue will give us some reports on the blue water. And love you to join in as per the usual. 1300 Mullet is the number, which is 1300 685 538, or text in 0487 99 1057.
Imelda May.
Love it.
Johnny got a boom boom.
Love
Tales
it.
From the tinny, Saturday morning. Imelda May, Johnny got a boom boom, a Tales from the tinny favourite. What a way to kick off the morning. 5:15 on the dot, shortly down to Catherine to a bloke. Well, they just don't make them like that anymore, I tell you.
Couple of reports. Firstly, though, as Rob said, some people did it pretty tough last weekend, particularly around the south. Wazza was out all day with Tin Ass Ted, who, if you haven't heard, is regarded by Wazza and many amongst the Jabiru fraternity as being able to catch Barra in a bathtub.
Yeah.
They did.
But I just before you go on, I'd like to go back to your general descriptor of Tin Ass Ted that we've used over the years that I think is just poetry in motion and encapsulates the mystery that is the man, that men want to be like him, women want to be with him.
Indeed. They don't
Tin Ass Ted.
They don't make them like they used to. They did 200 Ks, burn 100 litres of fuel for no fish, just so... You know,
happens to the greats.
It happens to the greats. That's a bit of an indicator of... I actually presumed that was on the south because he didn't say. Apparently the Daily is open. Wooliana Road is open. We'll take you down there a little later. Warren will tell us in a moment anyway. And a really interesting pick came in this week from Ron Higgins. It was caught last Sunday, trapped in a culvert on the Arnhem Highway. Did you see this? A 108 culvert barra.
Yes.
Absolutely phenomenal. Ron says he only found it because they were chasing liveys around and saw it, and unfortunately were too far away from any decent water to save it.
Big fish, though.
I must recall immediately that the Daily is not open. Warren DeWitt, good morning.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, I thought Wooliana Road was open.
No, I don't think it is as yet. I think they still got it closed because the river's still up fairly high, and I think there's been a fair bit of damage done to that Wooliana Road. So
no, you're dead right. Wooliana Road and the public boat ramp are both closed.
So you were just roaring out of the northern suburbs with that bit of oil from Tim.
Yep.
Just cool it down.
And you know what I've done there, Warren? I've shot off a bit early.
Exactly.
In February fever, I've read closed as open. Now, you did, Wazza did 200 k's and 100 litres of fuel for no fish.
Mm.
How many k's and litres of fuel did you burn down the Vic?
Well, we did 300 k's on the water. We did 600 k's in the vehicle, all in one day. Left here at 2:30 and was back home at 9:30 that night. So it was going to be a two-day trip down to the Vic. We were hoping that it was on the drop, and obviously, like you are alluding to, we got our afterburners on a bit too early and took off, and we went down there. The water was up in the car park at the Nicholas Creek boat ramp.
So true.
It took a little bit of effort to get the boat off the trailer because it was on the flat part of the boat ramp or the car park. So
you
had to actually reverse up and then hit the skids and then go forward again and charge back in, reverse back into the water again and hit the brakes and try and shoot the boat off so that you could get it into the water. And eventually we managed to shake it off the trailer and went down the river. And once we started pulling up at the creek mouths and starting to fish, there was no movement of water coming out of the creeks. But there was a little bit of colour change leaking out of them all, but no bait either. And soon started to dawn us, I suppose, that we were in for a bit of a tough day.
So yeah.
We went right down to the bottom to Angularia and had a look inside Angularia, and it was right out of its banks within 100 metres of going up inside Angularia. It just went out and disappeared into the ocean, into the back docks everywhere, just water as far as you could see. So then we went down and up the Baines and proceeded to try and see if we could find any colour change and any water coming out off the floodplains, but everything was backing up so far that it was just busting over the banks everywhere in the Vic. So,
and therefore all the bait was up and over the banks and unreachable and anything chasing them, yeah?
Yeah, that's what the only thing it can be is that those bigger tides, which, I mean, two things we did wrong. We went down on a rising river, which you shouldn't really ever go fishing when the river's rising, and we went on the biggest tide of the spring, so the combination of those two just backing that river up so much just pushed it out over the bank. So,
what you're accepting, you're willingly accepting, is that you made a pretty dumb call there.
Well, because you get too excited.
Yeah,
that's February, right.
The hell with it, you say.
February fever. And February,
you're not thinking with your big head, Warren.
No.
And February in good wets is kind of notorious for being tough, isn't it?
It is, and that's exactly right. And when you look back through the years of diaries and all the rest of it, February is always that time that where we've had, the last 2 years have been really bad wets, and that's really what's thrown us out a little bit because we've forgotten what really should be happening in February, and that is that the rivers are flooded, that all the fish are out on the floodplain still, and it's not until March, towards the end of March, middle end of March, that it starts to go bang and someone hits the switch, and miraculously all these fish start turning up at these creek mouths and the world's beautiful once more. So people are just going to have to cool themselves for a little bit, I think. There's fish being caught still in places. A few boys went down the Roper and caught a few fish down there because the Roper's in a little bit of a different scenario to the other river systems. It's not in flood, so it's dropping out, you know, what little water that has in it has coming up pretty quickly. So it's not going to last too long, I don't reckon, the Roper this year because we haven't had the rainfall in the catchment or even out on the floodplains down the bottom.
Yeah, okay. What about Mary? I was mentioning earlier, I know a few crews heading down the mouth of the Mary. Are they likely to experience similar issues with too much water and water up and over the floodplains everywhere, whether it be at the barrages or down the mouth?
It will be. It'll be the same scenario, is that the water will look good. There'll be colour changes and you'll think that there should be fish there. But because there's no bait, barra are not going to be sitting there waiting for that bait to turn up. They're going to be out on the floodplains chasing that bait where they are at the moment. And that's typically what happens at this time of year. That bait is so secure up on the floodplains because it knows there's so much water up there that they're still growing and still maturing and just sitting up there until that end of March time period when it actually goes bang and off it comes.
Hmm.
What we'll need is this is a good break at the moment, I suppose, when you look at the weather pattern, that we're not going to see too much rain around for the next couple of days or next week, I suppose, before hopefully the monsoon gets itself back into gear again and comes back down again, because we don't want it to sort of nick off. And it has been quite cool down here. I mean, the humidity's dropped below 50% down here for the last 3 days in a row, and we're getting down to 22s in the morning. So that's pretty cool already for this time of year.
22 past 5 on Tales from the Tinny. Tim and Rob with you on 105.7 ABC Darwin, 106.1 if you're listening down where Warren is in Katherine.
And we're just going to get you to hold there for a sec, Warren, because Brad's given us a call. He's actually heading across the Adelaide River floodplain. He's towy. He's off and away, and he's on his way to the south. Brad, how you going, mate?
Good, mate. Good, how are you?
We're good. What's the plan for the day?
We're heading to the south for the for this morning. I'm hoping to be Johnny on the spot, I think.
Oh, Johnny. You'd love to be him, wouldn't you? Have you got a Johnny in the car just for fun?
No, we can make a token, Johnny, I'm sure, somehow.
You could all be Johnnies.
Hey, Brad, yeah. Brad, we've had a few reports filter in from during the week of people who were fishing the south on the big tides last weekend. Most of them did it pretty tough. What have you heard?
We dropped in and saw Matty West yesterday and bought a few extra bits of tackle, and he said, yeah, it's been a bit tough down there, but, it's a bit hard to catch fish from the lounge room, so we're having
you
to
got
down
it. Well,
you got it, fella.
Who cares, Brad? You said it.
You're going up or down, mate?
Probably going to head down today and have a look, see if a bit of bait's turned up, and then maybe have a look upstream tomorrow afternoon.
And, Brad, what do you make of, the south in flood on these tides? Because while a lot of people like it on bigger tides to hold some of that floodwater back, there could be some advantage in a neap letting more of the floodwater out and maybe flushing a bit of bait out with it, perhaps, do you think?
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping. We might head down the mouth today and have a look down the brook and rookery and see how we go down there on the neap of tide, and then hopefully some water is flushed out for tomorrow afternoon up the top.
Good luck, Brad.
All right, thanks, boys.
We'll call you Johnny for the moment.
All right.
Go hard, but let us know how you go, eh?
All right, too easy.
Good on you, mate.
1300 Mullet is the number, 1300-685-538, or you can text in 0487-99-1057. Is there any chance, though, with these neeps, Warren, of flushing bait out, or there's just too much, we're looking for excuses. We've just got to accept February fever.
Yeah, we need to shoot Johnny for a start.
Yeah.
It's in too much trouble because we all think we're going to
be him.
Yeah, we're going to be him.
Or be with him.
Exactly. So we need to get rid of him for a start, and then we'll start thinking more clearly and realise that it's too early still just yet with this great wet season that we're having, because there's no way that any bait is going to really want to come off in numbers off the floodplain yet. But having said that, you may find fish coming through and going up onto those floodplains at times. And this weekend's tides, whilst we talk about them coming onto neaps, it is only just starting to come onto neaps. So this is going to be not a bad set of tides to let that water start to come off the floodplains.
Yeah.
Also having a big enough high tide to help slow it down a little bit still. So you're going to get a bit more movement and of the release of water coming off those floodplains. So that was our biggest problem down the Vic on Wednesday, was that it was so corked up from the tides pushing in that there was no way that the water was able to escape out of those creeks, that they were just getting belted back up again.
Julia Christensen too from Top End Breakfast fished the Adelaide. Same story. The runoff creeks looked good, as they can be so attractive and enticing on the Adelaide. She even said there was a fair bit of bait in them, but no joy there. Just to one other quick thing, Warren, we had an email in from Tim. Fishing at your.abc.net.au. G'day, boys. No doubt you're sweltering under the strain of anticipation of the pending runoff. Yes, we are, Tim. And he has a question. I've been keeping a diary with regards to moon phases and the dilunar, or 27-day cycle, that encapsulates the tides. However, when it comes to targeting the elusive Calcarifa, it doesn't seem to appeal to them, a.k.a. on the prime tides, I can't even catch a snag, yet on off-peak times when you don't expect a hookup, they smash you. Does this mean that at this time of the year it's all about clear water runoff versus tide and moon phases? And I think he's talking there, Warren, about those moon phase books that some people fish by.
Yeah. I mean, they don't work too well up here. I mean, because you've got too many other influences affecting the tides and that as well, which obviously is the wet season and the food source and all the rest of it. So, and when you talk about the neap tides, exactly like what I was talking about there before, is that some of the neap tides at this time of year are just too neap, which lets that water just rush out of those creeks. And, of course, no bait will move when the water's travelling that fast, and no fish barrel sort of hold at those creek mouths either, because they have to work too hard. So they'll wait for the tides to start to build a bit again and start to help push that pressure back off those outcoming creeks. so that allows fish to migrate or move up and down those creeks without too much effort. So
in essence, Tim's answered his own question, really. It is more about runoff conditions, bait conditions, tidal conditions than moon phases.
Exactly. And when we go into the dry season, then it does go by the moon phases and the tide conditions so much more critical, because that really then does stimulate the fishing activity, whereas at the moment it's more the bait moving in and out of those creeks that will get those fish to turn up and feed when those fish are coming in and out of those systems.
Good on you, Warren. Next weekend, the AGM?
It is. Next weekend's our AFAN AGM. So we've got the Chief Minister and the Fisheries Minister Willem coming along, and there's a fair bit to talk about. Obviously, there's a lot of things happening within the fishing industry at the moment, so people need to come along and catch up on all the goss and also have their chance to ask questions of both leaders at the moment.
Good on you, Warren.
All right, boys. See you later.
Warren DeWitt, who's with Rod and Rifle Tackle World and president of AFAN, almost 5:30 on Tales from the Tinny. We'll head to the Weather Bureau shortly.
I've been cooking up a storm, your favourite, chicken and pink peppercorn.
Oh, but remember I was going fishing with the girls tonight.
Oh, fantastic. When you say the girls, I'm assuming that bloody Fiona is amongst the crew.
Yeah? What's the problem with Fiona?
Oh, no problem. I'll just resign myself now to the fact that you'll sneak in at a ridiculous hour in the morning, wake the house up crashing around in the kitchen and falling up the stairs, and then crawl into bed reeking of champagne and pilchards.
Come on, that's a bit harsh. Anyway, I'll bring home fish.
When have you actually caught fish with that mob of champagne guzzling hoovers? It's ridiculous. All you do is out on the grog.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad.
Well, what about my
equal opportunity?
It always tastes better the next day anyway.
Oh, it'll be ruined. It'll be ruined if it all afternoon.
Tales from the Tinny.
This is true. It is an equal opportunity world, isn't it? It's an equal opportunity world. You can be as much an idiot if you're a female as well as a male. You can be a stupid, mindless fisho with no focus on any part of your life except the runoff, sexual proclivities or orientation or delineation notwithstanding.
Yeah, it's not relevant.
It's not relevant.
In the world of the fisher. It's 5:30 on the Tinny. I'm not sure if we mentioned, by the way, if you want to get along to that amateur fisherman's AGM, next Sunday. It's at the Tracy Village Social and Sports Club, 10 a.m. Next Sunday. But Angeline Prasad is the senior forecaster at the Bureau. Good morning, Angeline.
Good morning, guys.
Pretty good conditions.
Well, you're really singing the gospel for us this morning, Angeline. 5 to 10.
That's good to know.
5 to 10 knots.
Yeah, it's pretty good at the moment out there. The winds are a little bit stronger off the north coast. We've got winds getting up to 20 knots at times, but elsewhere, generally 10 to 15 knots during the day.
What does off the north coast mean exactly? How far away, how far off the north coast are they up to 20?
Well, just off the north coast, it would be just offshore. So, yeah,
is it above the Tiwis or...?
Yes, north of the Tiwis.
Okay,
yes.
So around the Darwin coast and in the harbour, mm-hmm. pretty reasonably calm conditions then.
In the morning, yes.
In the morning.
But we're expecting a good sea breeze in the afternoon, so the winds will pick up inshore during the day once the sun comes up.
To 10 to 15 or more?
10 to 15 knots, and the gusts have been up to 20 knots.
Okay. And how about precipitation? Is this monsoon influence well and truly nicked off for a while, Angeline?
No, not really. I should say it's waned. The monsoon trough has weakened. It's sitting near the north coast of the top end. So it's sitting over land, and it is connected to a weak tropical low that's in the eastern Gulf of Carpentaria. Now, this low is weak. It's not expected to develop, but it will track westwards and cross the east coast of the top end most likely on Monday. And once it moves inland, it's expected to become slow moving, and that might help reinvigorate the monsoon again. But it doesn't look as if it's going to be any stronger than, or as strong as what it has been over the last month or so. So at this stage, just increasing shower and storm activity.
Well, we're certainly not done with the rain yet. We've still got some monsoonal influence to look forward to.
No, definitely not. Just a drier patch has arrived for a couple of days. So yesterday we did have showers and storms, but they were in the rural area. And today and tomorrow it's going to be a little bit drier compared to, say, yesterday. So just afternoon showers around Darwin, not expecting much. There will be very isolated storm activity. The trough is sitting over land, so it's providing the trigger to contribute towards some shower and storm activity, but there's quite a lot of dry as well. Now, as the low moves over the top end, it's going to bring in moisture and reinvigorate the shower and storm activity.
Okay, sounds very good. Sounds very good indeed. What about towards the centre? How's the what's happening down that way? Starting to chill, or are we still holding decent temperatures?
It has been pretty windy and dry there. Temperatures have been pretty good down south. It's been a dry and slightly cooler southeasterly flow, and temperatures have been sort of in the low 30s and the high 20s across much of the Alice Springs district. Tarn Creek has obviously been a little bit warmer compared to temperatures further south. Now, over the next few days, we've got a trough that's sitting over inland Queensland, and it has been producing some much needed rain over inland Queensland. Now this trough is moving westward, so we will see increasing shower and storm activity over the central and southern parts of the territory as well over the next few days.
And just finally, we cracked the we're above average for February already, aren't we? About 300 mil or so,
yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, very good. So we might so that low might give us a little bit more before the end of Feb, possibly.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Fantastic. We love those numbers. We love a record.
Thanks, Angeline.
Thanks.
Angeline Prasad, who's a senior forecaster at the Bureau. Really funny pick online on Facebook too this week from George. This is how we roll in the NT. He said, you might have seen this. It's a picture of the Adelaide River in flood.
Oh, yeah.
With the banner, Adelaide gets 75 mil of rain and people go nuts. Adelaide River gets 675 mil of rain and people go fishing.
Tales from the Tinny.
Here's an assortment of birds down in the rookery. Brad might be hearing this in maybe an hour or so.
Those white birds, aren't they, Rob?
And a couple of grey birds in there as well, and the ones with long beaks.
You make such a wicked tour guide.
I think there's ibises.
And another one.
Yeah. I love it in there. The rookery is just an awesome... It's like a David Attenborough moment.
It is, isn't it?
In there, when you get in there when they're in nesting. There's a bloke walked into the studio by the name of Toby, a.k.a. Fagiola, a.k.a. producer of Tales from the Tinny. Fagion.
I'd like to speak, gentlemen. We've been talking about last week and how lots of people have prematurely ejaculated their boats into the top-end rivers... unsuccessfully. We've heard of numerous people going over 200 kilometres in their boat for zip, and I would like to single-handedly apologise to the public, particularly the fishing public of the Northern Territory, for this behaviour, which has been very influential in creating this very depressing situation.
It's time to go, fishers! Go! 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 Go, fishers!
It's the weekend to go.
Yeah.
That's Robert Smith last weekend, morning.
Using a megaphone.
To the Northern Territory telling you to go. So I don't blame you for going, but this is a warning for the rest of the year. Maybe what comes out of Robert's mouth is not the best idea.
It's to be taken with a grain of sea salt.
Here's your opportunity, Rob. Just a quick formal apology, fella. Do the right thing.
I'd like to apologise on behalf of the Tales from the Tinny team and ABC management and the ABC in general, the whole of the Australian ABC, for any disappointment, disillusion or raised false hopes and sense of just empty, hollow bitterness that I may have engendered in the wider public after last weekend's episode of Go! Go! Go!
No, that didn't really help it. That kind of made it worse.
Did it?
I need a...
Sorry, fish
eyes. 0487 991 057 is the text. Matt has texted in. We forgot to ask. He wanted to know if Warren hit the Vic in his night vision goggles. Remember,
oh,
he was...
Oh, we didn't ask.
Fadge, did you ask? No. Bugger.
We must... Oh, no, he was back by 9 o'clock, he said.
Ah, there you go, Matt.
Oh, but he was on at 2.30. So what's the... From Catherine from the... Vic from Catherine is what, about 2 hours, is it?
Yeah, two or three, I think. Anyway, we'll find out for you, Matt.
He would have been getting there at daylight.
If you didn't know, Warren went and bought a pair of night vision goggles so he could navigate down the river and cast accurately at night.
Imagine being in the rookery with night vision goggles and having all those grey birds, white birds, and the ones with the long beaks with their eyes phosphorescing at you.
And I must mention, while Toby was here, that Emma, who posted on our Facebook page, desperately having lost her paddle, missing her paddle at East Point. Mario didn't get to that till about a couple of months later, unfortunately. But Emma has got back to us to say, good on you, boys. Don't worry about it, Toby. My paddle was found by a fellow paddler and returned not long after I reported it. Good on you, Emma. And you can contact us via Facebook or via email too. fishing@your.abc.net.au is the email address. We've also been talking last week about a rather heinous accusation made by David Krantz, a regular on the tinny. A couple of chaps were on talking about their 70-centimetre fish, put a photo online. Dave remarked that if that fish is 70 centimetres, I'll run nude down Smith Street Mall.
Oh, has this escalated?
It's got ridiculous during the week, fishos. We've had CSI labs comparing average widths of human hands and distances between rods and reels and eyelets in order to cross-reference and establish the length of the fish. Dave sent a long, long, long defence in that talks about the inaccuracy of brag mats. To quote, as we all know, a metre is defined as the length of path travelled by light in a vacuum during a time interval of 1/3 millionth of a second. So unless the fish is photographed on a laser interferometer in a partial vacuum or inert gas environment, it's hard to be certain of the accuracy of the measurement. The conclusion we've come to and what we can commit to, fishos, you'll be excited to know, is that Dave Krantz will be running nude down Smith Street Mall next week, and we will bring it to you
sometime. We're not sure when. But there will be photographic evidence.
He has accepted the fish was 70. Next week sometime, he will run nude.
I don't think he's actually accepted that the fish was 70, but he has accepted the fact that he has irreparably maligned the reputation of the two fine territory chaps who claimed it to be a 70 in a public forum.
So he's running nude. We can guarantee that will happen, and you will hear about it on Tales from the Tinny next week. So be careful what you commit to in a public forum when it's related to the fine honour of territory fishos. And remember, they don't make them like they used to.
You know, that, Tim, is a beautiful segue, because they don't make them like Willie Nelson anymore.
I'm sitting here wondering, will a matchbox hold my clothes? I'm sitting here wondering, will a matchbox hold my clothes? I ain't got no matches, but I got a long way to go.
Willie Nelson. I like it. I mean, I'm not much of a country man, but like Willie Nelson to me is like Johnny Cash.
Mm.
He's in a genre of his own. You got to admire a bloke who, you know, I was probably 15 years ago now, but I mean he was 60 or so. He's 81 now, so he's probably 65. He's got probably, you know, $10 million. But he gets busted by the cops sleeping in the back of his car with 2 pounds of ganja in there. He's living the dream, will he?
They do not make them like they used to.
They don't make them like they used to.
Oh! What was that? Another barrow just tried buffing the lure out of its mouth.
Oh! that was from Shane Compayne's trip up the south a couple of weeks ago. He told us about it, and then he said he'd send the video in, which he did. It's online if you want to look, Fishos. It's phenomenal. There's a good-sized barra on the line.
75-ish or...
75 or 80, wasn't
it? Yeah, looks like it.
And then an equivalent size, as he's reeling it in and playing it, an equivalent size fish just launches
smashes.
It. Just whacks the two barra, smashing the one lure. Incredible little video. A couple more texts into 0487 991 0057 on Tales from the Tinny. You with Tim and Rob, by the way, on ABC Darwin 105.7 and 783 Alice Springs in the centre. At top of the south yesterday, this is from Lats, top of the south yesterday, not a single fish, no bait, but heaps of good colour change, lots of water, obviously. Tell Johnny on the spot to go. Beep, 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 beep. Off to Shady Monday, Tuesday, overnight. Oh, good one, Lats. Let us know how you go.
Let us know how you go, Lats.
Monday, Tuesday, overnight. He's obviously trying to get the Dnieper tides there and see how it goes. Matt texted back too on 0487 991 0057. He's also heard that Kai at Goat Island sunk a boat securing gear during the last week of that last lot of rain. Robert has described to us before the ridiculous...
The feats of Ledger Domain.
Yeah.
the
ridiculous feats. He's all right now, though, Kai. You know, he spent about a week of that monsoon, Kai, up at Goat Island.
Up a tree.
No. It was just him and his seven chickens who were pooing all over his deck. It was the only time. It was him and his seven chickens and little Hot Dog, the poodle dog, all hanging out just waiting for the water.
But had his little 3KVO, 2KVO genset on top of the fridge. So that was the last thing to go. It was always, even if it was up to his neck, he was going to have cold beer.
Look, I don't know that we can repeat enough the overarching philosophy of Houston and T-Borg and Tales from the Tinny this morning, that they do not make them like they used to. This was some not good news from during the... At the risk of just being a broken record, this was some not good news from during the week, though. Two boats flogged from Bayview during the week. Yeah, this is a shocker. This is Adam, who spoke to Julia Christensen during the week.
Yeah, I woke up Wednesday morning to no boat in the carport, which was a bit of a surprise. Some thieves during the night had come along and taken me pride and joy, so... I was just listening to your stories about fishing and whatnot there before. I'm a little bit jealous.
It's all immaterial to you at the moment with no boat. And a bloke down the road also lost his boat.
Yeah. Pretty much exactly the same boat as mine, a 490 Renegade. Mine was painted and his was just the aluminium hull. Yeah, he lost his as well. So.
On the same night?
Yeah, they took it both on the same night, yeah. It's a Quintrex 490 Renegade, white with an 80 horsepower motor on the back.
And not only that, the poor bloke was just moving interstate and had all his clothes.
He had all his gear in the boat, so he's been left with, I think, one pair of Y fronts and a T-shirt. But he doesn't mind about that.
A pair of old tight cotton stubbies.
Yeah, it's the loss of the boat. Two flogged in the same night from just up the road. Anyway.
I know, we've pounded the desk over the years, Timmy.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, what did your mother, what did these people's mother do to them? Why? Where did it go wrong that you think that's an acceptable way to behave, to steal another bloke's boat? Theft is pretty unattractive to start with, but stealing a bloke's boat.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a new level of low, isn't
it?
Fiona Gorman sent an amazing little pic too. It's a lovely photo. It's from her father, John Morrison, who used to manage a cattle station. It's situated on the Manuru River, is it? Or Manuru River, which is a tributary of the Wilton, which flows into the Upper Roper. Anyway, her dad used to manage the place. And the two gents in this photo, it's online, had asked her dad if they could use his car to carry their barra up from the river. And initially he said, don't be so lazy, carry it up. And eventually convinced him to bring the car down, and he found out why they needed help. It was massive. Fiona reckons it, it's a photo from yesteryear.
Yeah.
But reckons it was 87 pounds. Now, if that's about right, that's got to be one of the biggest barra we've ever seen. Jump on and let us know what you think, or if you know the guys in the photos, because at 87 pounds, if it was that size as Fiona, I think, recalled, phenomenal little pig.
Now, with a quick technical innovation here, we're able to connect up with Fadge in the control room. Are you there, Fadge? Are you reading me over?
I copy. Do you copy?
We copy indeed. Can you give us a pronunciation on that river?
That would be Minaru. Minaru River.
Thank you, brother.
That flows into the Wilton, which flows into the Roper, Tim.
Copy that. Minoroo River. Cheers, Fadge.
Pick up your game, mate.
Yeah, Romeo, right, that. Who gave him that capability? 10-6 on Tales from the Tinny. Ashley Garner's from NT Coastal Fishing Charters around Borroloola. How are you, Ashley?
Yeah, good, fellas. How's yourselves?
Pretty well, mate. Pretty well. You got the February fever, the anticipation of the coming runoff too, mate?
Yeah, mate, definitely.
Yeah, now, you've been out. Where you been hitting? What have you been up to?
Mate, we've been out chasing some jewies lately in the last few weeks down around West Island here and doing pretty well as well.
Talk us through the conditions, the sort of area you're targeting them in, Ashley.
Fairly shallow sort of ground. We're in about 7 metres of water, about 20 foot, and just rubbly bottom, nothing too much there. But, doing pretty well, though. Got 13 jewies Sunday before last, biggest to a metre.
Fantastic.
That's fantastic. And it's good country to be fishing in. Like, apart from the fact it's good fun because they're running horizontal and hard, but you can catch and release.
Yeah, well, that's it, mate. Yeah, most of them fish were released. And, like you say, they go pretty hard in that shallow water, a few around the anchor and a couple of laps around the boat later.
A couple of times, and we've heard reports before, I've accidentally caught them in that kind of water on barra rods, and that's when they really give you a tickle up, isn't it, Ashley?
Well, that's it, mate. I actually had Daniel Harding, one of the blokes on the boat, he was using his barra rod with a weedless frog on it, and he was getting more jewies than anyone else.
On a weedless frog?
On a weedless frog. Sinker in front of it to get it to the bottom, and away he went.
I'm assuming, given that you're fishing with a barra rig and a weedless frog, that you're not... Weedless flog. Frog, spit it out, Smith, that you're not that far off the coast, mate.
Yeah, no, pretty close, mate. Not very far at all, only a couple of k's.
And, Ashley, how you find... I mean, we've had this big patch of monsoonal wet weather. How do you find the blue water turns on after that big amount of rain? You know, as all that nutrient and water's been flushed out to sea or into the harbours, it can generally really fire in the week or two after the rain stops, can't it?
Yeah, well, down here, mate, that's been the case here. You know, we've got a hell of a lot of jewies and goldies and all that sort of stuff right in close. It's been pretty good.
You didn't get quite the amount of rain down that way that we've had right at the top end, is that right?
Yeah, we didn't get quite as much, but I think we're still well above our average. Our big bridge in town has been under twice already this year, so it's looking pretty good.
Okay, you went out for Valentine's Day too?
Yeah, mate, took the missus out for Valentine's Day and...
You are romantic.
Don't make them like that anymore,
Ashley.
Yeah, no, it was good, mate. She was wrapped with it, 99-centimetre jewy. That was her personal best, so... And I didn't catch one, so... But anyway...
Everybody had a win.
Yep, that's it.
Good on you, fella. Thanks for the update, mate. You out this weekend?
Yeah, mate, I'll head out this morning and probably again tomorrow try and chase up a salty barra.
Good on you, fella.
Good on you, fellas. Thanks for that.
Good to catch up with you, Ashley. Ashley Garner from NT Coastal Fishing Charters in Borroloola. 0487 991057 is the text. 1300 mullet, which is 1300 685 538, is the number on Tales from the Tinny. Woz has called in to say on that number to say the only bloke we can trust in this town is Ronnie Vukolos. He was the only one who said to Wozza, "It's too early." I think what he's implying there, Rob, is don't under any circumstances trust Rob Smith from Tales from the Tinny.
Why would you?
That's the undercurrent of that message. He also wanted to say that he's sick of these non-fisho people having birthday parties on Saturdays. Bravo, Wozza. Why can't they have a birthday on a Friday night so we can go fishing for the whole weekend? Wozza, I couldn't agree more. And you know the sadness of what my life has become? This weekend there was an overnighter available to go for a big long fish, and a one-year-old's birthday party has prevented that from happening. A one-year-old's Saturday afternoon birthday party.
A one-year-old. Surely you can just say, "Sorry, bloke."
Oh, you know, it's a toughie.
You might like...
I think it's very,
even if it's your
very
closest friend, you can put your arm around him and say...
They'll never remember anyway.
The little fella's not going to remember whether I was here or not.
Regardless of the age, I couldn't agree more, Wozza, that if you're a non-fisho and happen to be waking, just keep in mind that if you've got mates who are fishos, don't run your birthday parties on Saturday arvos or Saturday nights anywhere between about January and the next January. It's six minutes to six on the Tinny.
I just want to wish you well. I just want to wish wish you well. Why'd you give up on me so soon? I just wanna wish you well.
Wish you well from Bernard Fanning, Tales from the Tinny, ABC Local Radio, 6:03.
Andy Ralph from Kakadu's emailed in. Is that it for the monsoon, he wonders? Is Kakadu's knock-em-down season just around the corner? He reckons he's seen the signs that the wet we had to have might be winding up. Big call. Big call, Andy. Not quite what we want to hear. One more burst would be unbelievable, wouldn't it? Right. He says, the speargrass is going to seed, the skies are clear by day with stormy afternoons, and yamich, the local name for the grasshopper, is calling incessantly. But boy, have we had some rain, not far off Kakadu's total average already. Total wet season average already, says Andy, with 1,370 mil. So far, he reckons if you add the March average of about a bit over 300 mil, we could end up with a ripper wet season of over 2 metres. Majeela Creek Crossing been hovering around 2 metres deep for well over a month, and floodplains are chock-a-block full, and the Adelaide River Creek outflows are pumping. Fishing, Andy says, is pretty slow at the moment, as you'd expect. There's no bait fish around really to target, but still early days. He had some reports from people who went down to Brooks at the bottom of the south last weekend and talked about that, the lack of bait, and didn't manage to raise a scale. East Alligator apparently is looking a bit better for those who have pumped out the mouth of the south and across and up the east. But it'll be a while before mere mortals can get through there with, the four-wheel drive and the boat, because, as he said, it's still around 2 metres deep and impassable. Cheers for the update, Andy.
I spoke to Scotty Biscuit, my mate, who went down to the mouth of the south as soon as he could, because he was towing his three bears.
Yeah.
He had one of those disastrous trips where he ran out of hydraulic oil, so he couldn't bring the motor up or down, had to labour for about 500 metres to get on the plane. Couldn't stop at creeks. He wasn't going to stop because he'd take him a week to get back up on the plane. Got down there. I had to, got no fish, got back up, had a flat tyre in his car, then a flat tyre on the trailer. Had to call to someone to give him a hand to pull him out, and then he had to get another flat tyre from another mate, and it broke over the trailer. And it went on. It just cost him, fuel, dollars, cost him beer, bourbon in bloody rescue fees, and it was an absolute disaster.
Why is it that we can't have trips as fishos where only one thing goes wrong and then everything else is okay?
It's a cataclysmic coincidence of events.
It's always called a comedy of errors for a reason. Stay tuned after the news, fishos, because we're chock-a-block with really great reports from the south, from the Mary, from the Daily, just to entice you, even though you can't get in there, and some really important blue water tips and reports as well.
If you're in the centre, you're off to breakfast with Emma Haskins. If you're in the top end within Saltwater, stay with us. We'll be back after the news at 6.
Fishos, a strange and special breed who willingly expose themselves to baking sun, drenching rain, withering winds, and incessant assault by flying insect, all in an attempt to outwit a foe with a brain the size of a pea. There are a million yarns in the angling anthology, stories of victory and defeat, outlandish exaggeration and outrageous lies, tales of guile, cunning and gross stupidity. Tales from the Tinny.
Tales from the Tinny, indeed it is, where once again I'll publicly retract my statement that led to a lot of fishers' frustration. Although I'm sure they didn't need much encouragement, really. They were ready to go without me saying go.
And let's be honest, they wouldn't have gone because...
If I said stop, they would have bloody gone, he's an idiot, I'm going anyway.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
And rightly so.
6:06 on Tales from the Tinny. You with Tim and Rob this morning on 105.7 ABC Darwin. Good morning in the Nullars on 990. Down Catherine and the Daily on 106.1.
It's nice to get a call from Borroloola, wasn't it?
Bloody hell.
Over the Gulf.
1300 mullets, the number for shows. If you're heading out this morning, I'd love just a report from the roads or the servo. What's the plan of attack? What's the plan of attack this weekend with weather that's predicted to be 5 to 10 knots in the morning, up to 10 to 15 in the arvo, gusting to 20, but pretty nice mornings.
Mm.
Pretty rare. over the last month or so. We'll catch up with the Bureau again, as per the usual, at half past.
Tides!
You better make it official. Can we make it official? Or is,
in just a second.
Some people get a bit funny.
Time for the tides.
If you don't make it official, so thanks for doing that. I don't know why it matters, but I suppose it's an alert.
It's the small things that matter.
It's an alert to start listening up.
It's Pavlov's dog theory.
Yes, it is. 6.2 high at half past 10 this morning, dropping to 3, just a bit over 3 at 4 this arvo. So only 3 metres movement if you're fishing one of the big rivers like the Mary or the South. Pretty much reverse that. It'll be incoming of about 3 metres through the day and the
at
early
the
part of the arvo.
Yeah. So on Monday and Tuesday looking pretty good. The flat neaps, the 3 tide day on Monday. If you happen to be able to get down there, then I was speaking about Scotty before the news. He's going down there Monday, Tuesday again. He's got some hydraulic oil. He's got his tyres fixed. He's going back for more. They don't make them like that anymore.
No, they
but
don't.
We'll be here. He's also got an interesting quandary in his backyard. There will be an opportunity possibly for some fishos. A strange sort of Tales from the Tinny competition will be running next week. Stay tuned for that.
You could win a live fish.
That's right.
So there's a lot to
do with what you will.
To do with what you will. There's a lot to look forward to next week. We'll be auctioning off some live fish. True story, that. And commentating a Tales from the Tinny world exclusive, a live nude run down Smith Street Mall. It'll be happening at some stage over the next week or so. Stay tuned over the next hour too, because, wow, we are racking, packing and stacking. Robert, we're out to the harbour from a report during the week. We're downstream on the South Alligator for some recent reports over the last week or so. We'll head out to Shady. One fisho's hit it for a couple of days. Another's been there for a week out with the Botel. So that'll be a great report. And we'll take a look at how the daily's looking. The daily isn't open and isn't accessible, but we wanted to get a bit of an assessment of how conditions are down there. And then we'll take you to the Blue Water too, which we haven't discussed much, but has got to be an option with reasonably good early morning weather, Rob, and neapish tides, and a break from, you know, the monsoonal rains. I reckon the Blue Water's a bloody good option this
weekend. I reckon a very good option when people are a little bit river crazy, go the other direction. John from Wanguri's given us a call. How are you, Philly? You went crabbing last week.
Yeah, boys, I did. It just shows that fish has got a brain the size of a pea.
that's right. Or nearly the size of a pea.
Yeah, mate, look, I went across, went out from bloody Diner Beach, and, mate, as soon as we got around the corner, I reckon 2 metres with white caps, mate, we were just
And that's inside the harbour.
It took me an hour and 20 to go somewhere I go in about 15 minutes.
Oh, John, but you kept pushing through, didn't you?
Mate, we went through, mate, and we thought, this is all right, then I'll get over there. Geez, that's a big black cloud. Whack.
But you kept pushing through, didn't you, John?
We did, mate. Look, we got 5 crabs. One was a bit empty, and the other 4 were 4 good full crabs, so I thought that was still a good trip. Went to my favourite rock bar and caught nothing, so I was a bit disappointed there. On the way back, mate, if someone might let on a secret, there was heaps of baits on Weed Reef. I counted at least 8.
Aye.
8 on Weed Reef?
Yeah, well, that's where I reckon they were. That's about what was out there.
Yeah.
They were pretty close to where Weed Reef was. There was 8 of them. They weren't that far apart.
Well, and sneaking up on catching, I don't know, maybe some snapper or jacks or something in the shallow. Who knows?
Thinking I might have been chasing goldies, but yeah, coming back it was pretty good, eh? Which really disappointed me.
John, in honour of a couple of fishos heading out to a mission at the Mary this weekend, we have an overarching philosophy on Tales from the Tinny this morning, and thanks for becoming
just
part
reinforcing
of
it. Forcing that. For
that
us.
A man who pounds through a couple of metres of waves for an hour and a half on a trip that should take 15 minutes, who puts up with monsoonal storms for a couple of crabs, they don't make them like they used to, John. Good on you, fella.
All right, boys, thanks. Have a good one.
John from Wanguri, 1300 Mullet is the number to call.
Thought I'd play this little bit of mood music, Tim, to get us in the mood, because we've had some correspondence from one of our more erudite, some might say persistent, some might say obnoxious correspondence. Matt from Sydney, the architect. Dear Robin Mario, Not sure I can bring myself to greet Tim this week, as we're about to be on opposite sides of a deep ideological divide. Last week, Tim made two significant pragmatic points people may recall. One, no-name single and double-plug thongs are to be preferred over the fancy unnamed Brazilian brand.
Correct.
The expensive thongs may come in disco colours, but they are not as practical and don't last.
Correct.
Two, this logic can also be extended to vehicles. The plain Japanese brand reliable four-wheel drive to be preferred over the glitzy American or other versions, according to the Gospel of Tim.
Correct.
Initially, I felt sheepish as I stood there listening in my fancy Brazilian thongs, which, yes, don't last, before climbing into my pop-riveted English four-wheel drive with an even less enviable reputation for reliability than the American option. I wondered as the week wore on and another pair of Brazilian thongs blew out, was I a mindless fashion victim preferring inferior products because of their perceived stylistic value rather than their real performance?
Yes. Yes, you were, Matt.
However, as minutes became hours, then days, my sheepishness turned to scepticism. Then scepticism turned to anger. Tim Moore, your pragmatic assertions have to be challenged. The fisho is a unique breed, not subject to the usual laws of risk and reward. Fishos, please do not accept Tim's pragmatic ideology. It strikes at the very heart of who we are. Surely, Tim Moore, of all people, should realise that fishos are not pragmatists. We're the people who drive 700 kilometres in a weekend to cast a few lures into a drain. We're the breed who laugh with, but never at, a mate who sticks a treble into some soft part of their anatomy. We celebrate the hero who can endure a croc and mozzie infested river in the middle of the monsoon, armed only with a 3-metre tinny and a 1970 model 6-horsepower outboard. Jeez, they don't make them like that anymore. We embrace the fact that any fisher who can catch fillets for less than $100 a kilo is exceptional, despite the fact that fillets can be bought for a third of this price. We are the idealists. We are the dreamers. We are the gamblers. Mm. For us, 1 + 1 does not equal 2. It may equal 0, but maybe, just maybe, it equals 100. Rage, fishos. Rage against more pragmatism. And if that means ridiculous footwear and impractical vehicles, then do it with pride, knowing that it is because people like you that are actually out there are tales from the tinny, rather than predictable boringness from the aluminium watercraft. There, I've said it. I'm off to the shop now to buy a new pair of thongs so I can walk down to the mechanic and pick up my car again. Yours reliably, Matt. Now, I did a bit of a timing mistake, so just for craft, let's just draw a line under it and go.
That is, I suppose I really do got to suck it up. That is a beautiful and well-made point, Matthew, that encapsulates every part of the philosophy that Tales from the Tinny attempts to broadcast.
Cat Empire, 6:15, Tales from the Tinny. They don't make them like that anymore. Cat Empire, with the track that sort of smashed him into the big time in Australia. Hello, hello. Tales from the Tinny, 6:18. Very shortly, we'll be catching up with a bloke by the name of Erity. They don't make him like him anymore, either.
Vicky Kerrigan.
Somebody has gone fishing at the Howard Springs Nature Park, and of course that is not allowed.
Oh, we're hoping some members of the community, if they've spotted any fishy business, they might like to report to us.
Did you just say fishy business? Did you really sorry, keep going.
And also have a pair of thongs. If Cinderella Fisherman would like to present to the park office, I'm sure I can have a nice chat with him.
Sorry, it's not funny.
Weekdays from 4 on 105.7 ABC Darwin.
Oh, Kero, it is just slightly funny that, did you hear this, Rob? A barefoot barra burglar at the Howard Springs Nature Park, you know, the big meteries there, So
I thought they died a couple of years ago.
Oh, they're still in there. Maybe some of them died. Parks and Wildlife found a pile of scales, a pair of thongs, and a knife, and a hunting the barefoot Barra burglar.
So were they?
Were they
double pluggers, or were they expensive South American brands?
What do you bloody reckon?
Tosser thongs.
No,
pluggers. Of course they were.
They were black and white, straight up and down, old school, durable pluggers.
Mm.
Robert. Anyway, some people are wondering whether it was a prank because you look at the photo and it's just all a bit too all set up there. But even so, if it is true, hopefully they catch him because, while vaguely amusing,
like a meatery in there, it'd be just filthy. It'd be a disgusting swamp dog, wouldn't it?
Can I quite quickly make a submission to the jury, too, Your Honour, regarding the double plugger issue and a pragmatist versus the idealist for Matt? My submission would be that this week, we both compared the new school, flowery, boutique...
suburban four-wheel drive.
Cuban-type thong to the suburban four-wheel drive. And you mentioned the FJ Cruiser as a good example last week.
Mm.
And I would like to contend that Toyota have revealed this week they're recalling 13,000 of them because they spontaneously blow up on the spot.
There you go.
The recall follows a bigger one last week. If we're comparing thongs to vehicles, Matt, that covered 1.9 million Prius cars globally for a software problem.
Oh, Matt would know his way around a Prius, wouldn't he?
Software. I mean, they don't make them like they used to. Remember the days when it was all about points, plugs and leads, Robert?
Software.
Now it's about software and hardware.
It's got a glitch.
They also recalled 295,000 RAV4s, Tacoma pickups and Lexus luxury models. And I contend to you, Matthew, that the jury rests, that they do not make them like they used to, be it the vehicle or the thong. 6:20 on Tales from the Tinny.
As we hear the birds out in the Howard Springs region, I believe. Now, I think that might be a grey bird. Chris Arity, can you confirm that bird in the background is one of those grey ones?
I think it's one with feathers.
And a beak?
Yeah, I can't tell. It's still a bit dark.
Yeah.
Jeez, he's really getting into it, isn't he?
How are you, mate?
Yeah, not bad.
You'd be a straight up and down double plugger man. You wouldn't go for the style option, would you?
Mate, I don't even wear thongs.
Yes.
I'm a true Territorian, barefoot all the way.
Good on you, fella.
Yeah. You hit the south, mate.
I did. Yeah, about a week ago.
Yeah. How'd you go?
Yeah, it's very quiet.
Yeah.
Very quiet. We managed 6 fish, but only one was legal.
Oh wow! Most of them littlies.
Yeah.
So this would have been just pretty much straight after the Arnhem Highway opened?
Yeah, I pretty much sorted it open at 9 a.m. and basically packed up the boat and went.
And what part of the river were you fishing, Chris?
We got down there about 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon, so just had a little 2-hour recce upstream, just had a bit of a look around, and then the next day we went down to the rookery.
Okay. What was the keeper if all the others were under?
It was a good fish. Like, it was basically my second cast on just a little gutter upstream. It was an 87, so it was a good fish.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Okay, yeah. So this was last Thursday. That was on the big tide, so it was coming in for most of the day. Oh, well, they were big-ish, coming in most of the day to about a 5.7 high. Was it that day?
Yeah, on the Thursday, yeah. Yeah, still sort of just coming off the loops.
And how did it look upstream, mate? Talk us through the conditions.
We went right up the top just to have a look, and it was way over the floodplain, so we just had a look and came back down. But, you know, every creek's pumping tannin, but just no bait fish yet.
Yeah.
Too early.
Yeah, a bit early, yeah, definitely.
But the signs, as you read them, Chris, are all pretty good, mate?
Yeah, well, you can't do any worse than last year, so I think that's why everyone's pretty fired up this year.
I think it is. We've said that a couple of times. Yeah. It hasn't been it's been a good monsoon. It hasn't been a record breaker or anything, but just everyone is so scarred from last year that everybody's just a little bit giddy.
Yeah, that's right, and, you know, it's a good steady wet, which is what you need, you know, sort of rain every day for probably about 6 weeks now.
Yeah, to keep it up on the floodplains, Chris, and get that bait breeding.
Yeah,
and growing.
Still, you know, it's still too high at the moment, so once it drops a bit, that bait should come back down.
And what do you reckon we've had enough rain already to ensure a reasonable runoff? Has the water stayed up on the floodplain for long enough?
I reckon it probably has, yeah. It, you know, I mean, it still wouldn't be the best runoff. But, you know, it's very early yet, so hopefully one more burst and we'll be pretty right then.
One more burst would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I reckon one about mid-March.
Yeah, well, it seems from what the Bureau's saying that there's certainly still some more in the bank to come. So this could be the window that we sometimes see. If we don't get any for a while, if it drops a little bit further, there might be a brief Johnny-on-the-spot flurry of activity and then top her all up again.
Yeah, that's right, yes. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people heading out. I'm heading out today, but I still don't know where I'm going to go. I might just end up at Shady and get in the barrel, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say you're a bit of a Shady stalker. How are you seeing it performing this year?
Should be good, eh? We just need that water to clear up at the mouth, so hopefully over these next set of neeps, it'll clear up and the fish will come on.
How would you attack it this weekend, though, on neepish tides with a lot of flood water around?
Yeah, well, still a bit springy today, but the wind is dropping off a little bit, so hopefully by tomorrow and then into next week it should clear up.
Yeah.
Because you've got so much tannin coming down, it should just start to run clear all the way to the mouth as long as that wind drops out.
Hopefully round the mouths and coastal creeks then?
Yeah, it'd be mainly around the mouth of Sandpan. I wouldn't bother going anywhere else on the neeps.
Yeah. And what are you... I know it's pretty hard to generalise based on different conditions on different rivers, but after that amount of rain, you said one set of neeps generally, Chris, will allow some of that water to get away and clear up. How long after the rain stops and sort of how many sets of neeps do you generally look for before you start really hitting it? Do you need it 2 or 3 weeks without rain and a couple of sets of neeps to let some of that water get away?
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much that as just timing too, because I was talking to Mario yesterday and, you know, basically March onwards.
Mm.
March onwards, you know, we all get towy and we love to get out, but basically before March, you know, it's hit and miss, and that's what a lot of people tell you. You'll get out and... you know, you might kill the pig, but more often than not, you get nothing at all. But basically, March onwards, you know, you feel a lot more confident. Normally, the river's been flooded long enough, starts to drop, and the bait fish turn up.
Now, you're a big fan, you're a big supporter, a big user of the big green bomber. But at this time of year, do you downsize? Are you downsizing and trying to match the bait a bit?
Yeah, it depends. Again, depends what bait's around. But, you know, I've got a few lures of every description, other than plastics, of course.
Oh, mate, we've been out into your tackle box, in inverted commas.
I didn't recall that you were a full anti-plastic fisho, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much. I went out with Justin Jones and Mel Miles last week, and, you know, you can't get much better fishos than them, and all they did was throw dirty rubbers the whole time. I caught a fish. I outfished him on that trip, so it was good.
That's it. Good. You came home smug and self-justified.
Yeah, self-righteous.
right.
Good on you, Chris. Well, whatever you decide for this weekend, good luck with it. Hey, if you're heading to the Mary, hope it's worthwhile.
Yeah, you know, you got to be in it to win it, eh?
That's it, mate.
That's
as
sure.
As the fella said earlier, he called in as he was heading across the Adelaide River floodplain and said, you know, I'm not going to catch anything sitting in my lounge room, am I?
Exactly. No,
like you might catch a bit of poultry by the sound of it off your balcony there,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, there's a few birds starting to wake up.
It must be getting close to sun up, is it?
Yeah, getting there. A little bit of light coming.
See you, Chris. Have a great weekend.
All right. No, all right. See you, lads.
Soles Ortis.
The sun is risen.
Equus Benedicus Piscatoris Consectatio Captura.
The fisherman stalks his prey.
Ophugio mulletus sorsum boss.
Get a mullet up you.
Yes, as we heard from Howard Springs, Chris Arity, she's greying up there. There might not be sunrise, but it's certainly grey. Coming up towards 6:30, we'll have the weather at 6:30. But firstly, Glenn Hubble is a bloke that we speak to quite frequently on the Tinny. He is not backward in coming forward and giving our producer Fadge a bit of abuse, which is, you know, gives him a bit of a gold star. In our book, he had a couple of days on the harbour during the week, and Fadge caught up with him to see just how he went.
We launched into a whiteout of rain on Tuesday, in a local creek with views of the city.
So in Darwin Harbour?
Yeah, in Darwin Harbour. Got in there for the low tide change and tangled with several barra, and I think we landed three, and two were keepers, a 58 and a 61.
And how much can you tell me about the location?
It was plenty of yachts around.
Ah.
You do the maths.
Yes. All right, we'll leave it at that.
The rain sort of buggered up the run out a bit. It was really, really dirty. So we sort of went from our main little spot and just pushed along with the tide till we found a bit of cleaner water. And we were using those bladed jelly prawns that have got a little blade underneath them in white glow. They did the damage. Little young Jackson picked up the first one, 58, and then went back to our original spot on the incoming, and the cleaner water came up. First cast back at the new spot, I set the jelly prawn out, and 61 nailed it. That was pretty satisfying. So we backed up and did it all again the next day, and this time we got them on the outgoing tide. We got a 58 and a 62-centimetre barra in the same spot. It was a bit of bait, the odd barra thing, but winding these prawns in at a dead slow crawl, so they're just crawling along the bottom, seemed to do the damage. I got a smaller one too that day, and he seemed to hit it when I'd stopped winding to talk to my mate for a second, just woof. And then he came up, and he almost had it swallowed. It was that far down his throat. There was a lot of bait on the last of the run out, and then the first, the run in wasn't too bad, and then they just all seemed to disappear, and the fish went off. So if you pick your little windows, I mean, both times we only went out for 3 hours, so a couple of quick keepers. Both the boys got one each, and I got one on each of the two trips, so pretty handy.
And you fish the harbour quite regularly.
Yep.
What would you say about fishing it for barramundi this weekend on the smaller tides?
I reckon as long as we don't have a heap of rain, if you're prepared to just cruise around quietly on the flats on your electric motor and get your little noodle rods out, small plastics, and cast them as far ahead as you can. Make sure you turn your lecky on a long way back from where you think you should and just quietly mooch along and use your eyes. Look for those little bit of bait. Look for those little gutters that run right out across the flats. You might be surprised what you see. It seems like the harbour's alive and well, I'd say.
Tales from the Tinny on ABC local radio across the territory.
There you go, Glenn Hubble, noted harbour stalker. Now, I don't think we're giving away any great secrets if we blow Hubble's cover there. Sadgrove's Creek he was talking about, of course.
Of course.
He gave a great lumping, cryptic clue. But I thought just in case those of you who may be a little bit more obtuse or didn't catch it on the down low. Sadgrove's Creek. Sorry, Hubble. You get that, though.
I'm not sorry, Hubble. You deserve that. That's no problem.
The Bureau. Angeline Prasad, how are you this morning?
Good, thanks. How are you?
We're pretty good, mate. There's fairly good conditions this morning, but might blow up a little bit in the harbour.
Yep, at the moment the wind's it's about 7 knots from the southwest, and during the day we're still expecting a good sea breeze. So the morning's going to be sunny, so it's going to heat up the land. So good sea breeze, up to 15 knots and gusting up to 20 knots. But that's only inshore, though.
What are we looking at in terms of storms and wet weather?
The storms have become quite isolated, mostly near the north coast and off the north coast, so in the Arafura Sea. It's possible we may get one or two storms as well off the north coast of Darwin, so closer to the Tiwi Islands. We're expecting good shower and storm activity over the Tiwi Islands itself. So there is a trough, a weak monsoon trough, sitting over the northern parts of the top end that's triggering these isolated showers and storms. However, there is quite a bit of dry around, so the shower and storm activity is expected to be isolated.
Catherine, expecting some warm, humid days?
Yes, certainly. It's going to be a sunny day in Catherine today, a little bit drier compared to the other days. The drier from the south is covering much of the southern parts of the top end, so not expecting much of a Catherine today. However, tomorrow we've got a weak low in the Gulf of Carpentaria that's expected to move west, so shower and storms developing tomorrow afternoon.
So a bit blowy in the Gulf?
Not really. It's quite a weak tropical low, so generally about 15 to 20 knots. It's not expected to develop, but it is going to move west over the next few days and move over land, most likely on Monday, over the top end and cause increasing showers and storms.
Good on you, Angeline. Thanks for that.
Thanks. Bye.
Angeline Prasad, the duty forecaster, out at the Weather Bureau at 26 to 7.
Tales from the Tinny.
A text in from a bloke who calls himself Turbo Poo-Faced Man. And I, you know, we make...
We have an interesting clientele on this radio program.
It's a broad church, as we say.
It is a broad church.
And an interesting clientele.
They don't make them like Poo-Faced Turbo.
Turbo Poo-Faced Man anymore. Not these days.
No.
He's part of a generation of yesteryear. I just wanted to make clear, we do make some attempt on the Tinny not to be completely juvenile all the time.
But fail.
But Turbo Poo-Faced Man had a legitimate bit of info that you might be interested in.
Mm.
He got back in town from the mine a couple of weeks ago down at the Ropat. Just wanted to let us know, it's bloody wet down in that catchment. Well, this was from a couple of weeks back. A lot of water in all the creeks at the time. He said it was looking good for runoff. Had a fly over Mountain Creek and Twin Rocks just downstream on the Roper. He said, not sure what the tides were doing at the time, but Twin Rocks was still out of the water. And the river's getting a great flush. Yeah.
It's good oil there, Poo-Face. Yeah.
It's excellent. Excellent oil, Turbo Poo-Face, man. And we will continue to share your correspondence. I didn't make any of that up. That's how he signed off, you know. He wants to be anonymous, and that's how he wants to be known. So
a nom de guerre.
That's how you will be known.
Captain Waddy is from Barefoot Fishing Charters. He's got nothing to do with poo associated with his name. How are you, Waddy?
Hello, Waddy.
I think we've lost Waddy.
Come in, Captain Waddy.
Yes, copy.
Copy. How are you, fella?
That sounds like a good superhero name, doesn't it, that one?
Turbo Poo-Face Man.
It does. What would his powers be? Yeah, let's not go there. Let's go straight to fishing.
Move on. Yeah, that's right.
You've been down to Shady.
Yeah, we had a bit of a 2-day sort of reco trip down there last Sunday, Monday, myself and Brian Miles. We got a pretty good window there where we sort of got some rough weather going across the mouth of Shady out around the coastal creeks there. But then it sort of came good for us, and we had some pretty good fishing compared to most other reports, I think.
It seems like it. So which creeks were you working, mate?
We called into virtually all the coastal creeks along the way, right up to the top of the Wildman, you know. So we fished Carmoor and Frings and that sort of thing. And, yeah, we sort of found fish, scattered smallish fish at most spots we sort of stopped at, so... Good sign, but still a little bit early, I think.
When you're saying smallish, what type smallish? 50s or real rats?
Yeah, sort of 50s and 60s. At the top of the barrage there, Carmoor, there was as many of those sort of little fellas as you wanted to catch, particularly at night that we camped up there on Sunday night.
Wow, you were keen.
Yeah, well, look, we were going to camp out on a bit of reef that we've got out in the middle there, but...
Bit lumpy.
A bit rocky. We didn't have any seatbelts in the boat, so... we pushed up the top there, and there was less mozzies there than we expected. We didn't get a drop of rain, and there was some good little fish around there on that full moon, you know.
A good option. So those smaller fish, were they swampy fish?
Yeah, they were. They really started to come on when the tide pushed up, though, so there could have been a few of them come up with the tide from the salt, I suppose. But, yeah, they were all darkish, like we didn't keep any deep. We kept one or two earlier on from the coastal sort of areas, but... Yeah, there's a lot of water up there, so I guess they're all spread out.
Yeah. You posted a photo on Faceache of a decent, what was it, a 78 or an 80 or something like that? That was a nice silver fish.
Yeah. Is that how Dave Cranes measured it, was it?
It was actually a metre 20.
Yeah. Well, that was actually a 104, that fish. So,
oh, was that? Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah, that was actually Krantz. Krantz texted me and said, listen, when you're talking to Waddy...
Hey, Rob, do you want to join Krantz in a nude run down Shrews Creek?
No, not at all. No, I would never cast aspersions on your honour or your measuring stick, Waddy.
It was over a metre.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that was the only sort of decent fish over 65 that we got, and it was one of those sort of by chance fish where I had a snag across the other side of the creek there, and I said to Brian, "Oh, I'll just put the rod in the rod holder, you know, and we'll fish it until we get sick of that spot, and we'll go and get it." And oh no, we'll motor over in the electric, so over we went, and got the lure off, and I just turned around two steps to the other side of the boat, and a short cast, probably 3 metres into a sort of a big clump of snags, and whacko. So he did all the right things for us. Actually had a front hook and a back hook in each hinge of the jaw, so there was no worries about jumping off, and he sort of just jumped his way out to the middle of the main river, and we floated down, and it was no dramas.
Perfect.
And old Milesy, so job's right.
20-7 on Tales from the Tinny. Tim and Rob with you on 105.7 ABC Darwin with Captain Waddy from Barefoot Fishing Safaris, who's been out at Shady. We were talking to Chris Arity just a bit earlier. I don't know if you heard, Waddy, but he reckons that we've probably just about had enough rain for long enough to get a decent runoff now. Another burst would be good, but it's been up on the floodplains long enough. Do you concur from what you've seen at the coastal creeks at Shady?
That's sort of what I've been telling a few punters, that we're probably a couple of weeks off now, and I'm sort of hoping that it stops raining so we can get out fishing. We had the same sort of rain a couple of years ago when I was fishing the south a lot, and we got a burst right in late February or early March, and it really set the fishing back a few more weeks. But it's the water up on the floodplains is warm and clear now, and like Chris says, They've had a good couple of months now for all those bait fish to breed up. So let's get them off the flats and down into the creek so we can make the most of them.
Good on you, Waddy. I'd just like once again to retract that that fish was definitely a 104. I'll be keeping my tackle inside my gear. Thank you very much.
Good on you, boys.
We'll hear from
on the status of Krantz's run, because that's something that I'm definitely going to stay away from.
It actually looks like it may happen. It may happen.
He's got to do it. He's got to do it. It's honour.
It's
honour.
A matter of honour.
It's honour.
You understand honour, Waddy. Good on you, mate. We'll catch up with you as the runoff progresses.
Yeah, good on you, boys.
See ya. That's Waddy from Barefoot Fishing Safaris.
A couple of texts in. I must confess I have February fever too, says Lightning Bill.
See? They don't make them like light. That's a name to conjure with.
I know. It's just awesome.
It's not Pooh-Face Turbo, man, it's a bit more Banjo Patterson, isn't it?
We go from Colgate the other week, who texted us, who doesn't have any teeth, thus the nickname, to Turbo Pooh-Face Man to Lightning Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Do you reckon he lives up a power pole, Lightning Bill?
It's such a broad church. Anyway.
Or is he named Rod?
Yeah, it might be named Rod. Mm. I must confess, I have February fever and I've got to go. I'm sitting on my front veranda with Lord Tarpon.
Oh, see?
is Lord Tarpon one of Lightning Bill's mates? Gee, that's a nickname of honour.
That's it.
Good afternoon, Lord Tarpon. How can I serve ye? Mulling over my pot of coffee and still haven't decided which river. Don't want to get caught in the vortex of indecision at the Arnhem Highway turnoff. We've long described that on the Tinny as the vortex of indecision, because you've got to make the call. Do I chuck a lefty to the Arnhem, or keep going straight ahead and nick off down the Daily? Well, you're not going to go to the Daily, Lightning Bill, so let's rule that out. Any help, please? P.S. If it's inside oil, it's between you three, myself and the fence post. Thanks for giving us an out, Bill. Mm. You won't get any inside oil. Any inside oil here is also outside oil, and you've already heard it on the radio, Bill. What do we suggest there, Rob? You rule out the Daily. We're looking for a big river.
I'm saying Adelaide Mouth.
Really? I was just about to rule out the Adelaide, because that's a hopeless, terrible, foul, temptress of a river.
Foul temptress. But no, that's what I'm... That's now, having said that, of course, Lightning Bill and Lord Tarpon, Your Highness... Everything I say you can take with a grain of salt, as we referenced to the go-go-go comments of last week.
Rob says Mouth of the South, Lightning Bill. I'd be ruling out the Adelaide. We've ruled out the Daily. I'd rule out the South, because the reports from there have been pretty ordinary. I'd go for the Mary. Why not? You've got heaps of options there, if you can be bothered. Good luck, whatever you decide. let us know how you travel. 0487991057.
I'm thinking Lightning Bill is fairly ponderous in his movements. That's what I'm going for.
Mm.
So his mates, you know, he moves like lightning, as in he doesn't really.
See. He's turtle-like in his pace.
No, just you know, respectable and you know, ponderous and
doesn't rush
measured,
to do anything.
Measured.
Adrian's from Woolliana. How are you this morning, Adrian?
Pretty well, thank you.
Now we're closed down there.
We certainly are.
Yep, can't get into Woolliana yet.
Road's closed and the ramp's closed.
Any idea? Could you guesstimate an opening on it, Adrian?
No, I don't want to crystal ball that. I think that the authorities will keep the ramp closed because the road's a bit of a mess and they want it to dry out before they do anything with it. At the moment, they couldn't even get any machinery on it.
Yeah, they'd need a couple of weeks of dry weather then, would they, Adrian?
I think so. But I feel just looking at past histrionics, we'll get some more rain before end of the wet season.
Yeah, there's another burst, hey? Yep. You reckon? Well, meanwhile, how are river conditions? How's it looking and how's it performing?
Oh, it's been a magnificent wet early, and it's dropping very slowly. Performance-wise, made of mine, Stamati, we went last Sunday on and this Wednesday. There's a couple of with the clear water coming off the cliff faces just past Catfish. But there's no clear water or water flowing out of the wetlands until you get to Clear Creek, which is a bloody long way.
Mm. How's the golf course looking, Adrian? We've got a nice even run on the turf there. The fairway's looking okay?
I put in a levee bank, and at the moment, absolutely brilliant.
Hey, there you go. Bit of preparation. It's a bit of PPPP. Prior preparation prevents, you know...
Piss-poor performance.
Piss-poor fairways.
I've been boffing about it since 1999, and I finally managed to do it this year, and it's the best thing I've ever done.
How many holes you got?
None.
So you don't have a golf course at all?
No, it looks like a golf course. Is that for...
I was really looking forward to a little chip and run there.
Yeah, well,
you both hoodwinked me.
I'll dig a few little holes in the ground for you.
Thanks, Adrian.
Get a few miles in for you.
Thanks, mate. You had a crook encounter during the week.
Yeah, I went, my mate Peter up the road rang up and he said, can you bring over a broom because there's so much mud in my veranda, I keep on trying to break my neck. And give me a lift with a couple of things before the water sort of inundates him. There's about a 4 metre gap from the river, across the lip of the river into the wetlands, and water's flowing quite rapidly. And over the years I have sort of developed a mistaken belief that decent-sized crocs won't sit in fast-flowing water.
Well, that's a fallacy we all sort of live with, isn't it?
Well, this is why I'm telling you about it, because I feel like an absolute fool. And as the boat sort of started to get sucked into this fast-moving bit of water, I leapt out the boat and leapt straight into a bloody croc off, I won't even guess because it'd be bullshit, but decent size. And,
have a bullshit guess for us. We're happy with a bullshit guess, Adrian.
Well, over 3 metres.
You landed on a croc at or around 3 metres.
Nodules on his back, and something in the brain said, this is not good.
this is not the bottom of the Daly River.
So I leapt 300 feet in the air, which is also bullshit. Landed back in the boat and ripped one of my fingernails right off, which... sort of smartened up my footwork a bit, and then I got angry. And because the croc couldn't bite me because it stuck between a tree and the boat. So it's trying to turn, but it couldn't. So then I beat the shit out of it with the broom, which really didn't prove a great deal until he decided just to bugger off. He had enough. The moral of the story is don't... I was under the belief that in fast-flowing water, a croc, it'd be... wouldn't be cost-effective energy-wise to hang around there for food because you're going to swim like a bastard.
Mm.
Well, I was wrong.
Well, there you go. That's a word to the wise. But nice work with the broom.
Mm.
Oh yeah, I'm a pretty good sweeper.
You were just raging by this time, and I can imagine just randomly flailing that broom about in with rage.
I showed no restraint.
No.
But I felt. It's sort of adrenaline gets into the system, but I felt an absolute fool for getting myself into that situation.
Yeah.
and I was very lucky that the croc could jam between the boat and the and the tree, and he couldn't turn. Otherwise, not good. Well, a mate of mine up the road, Phil, about last Monday, about 2 o'clock in the morning, talking about crocs, and there's a moral to the story. He's got three Dalmatians, two bitches, one a mother, and a dog. And the bitch went out about 2 o'clock in the morning to take care of Mother Nature, and
Mother Nature took care of it.
And decent-sized croc just about decimated it. It's awful to see. I saw the photographs day before yesterday, and not very nice.
No.
So just keep that in mind when you're flopping around the floodplains.
Good on you, Adrian.
Always carry a broom is the motto, Adrian.
Important warning.
Absolutely.
See you, fella.
Yeah, look after yourself. See you.
You too, mate. Bye. Great to catch up again. Adrian from Wooliana, looking good down there, but be a couple of weeks before the road opens. 10 to 7 on the tinny.
How do I love thee? Let me count thy scales, noble, schooling, estuarine creature. Thou art a fine, tasty morsel, from pectoral to dorsal. Tis no wonder mobs queue up to eat ya. I love thee to the depth and breadth that sounder and cast net dost reach. I love thy gift of self-sacrifice, made from back eddy, creek bank, and beach. I love thee freely, or if not totally free, as fair trade for beer or maybe ice. I love thee purely, you, no other, no surrogate will suffice. I love thee with raging desire so keen, cold buckets of water shall nay dull it. Thou art my mate, my bait, and, as I stick a hook up thy date, I thank thee almighty for you, faithful mullet.
God bless you, mullet.
What? God bless you, Adrian from Wooliana.
Oh.
That's, they don't make them like that anymore, fighting off 3-4 metre crocs with a broom.
You know, what an appropriate week to call that our overarching philosophy, because almost every single person has delivered the lesson. They do not make them like that anymore. Fancy jumping out of the boat and landing on a 3 metre croc. Jason Rogers has been out at the mouth of Shady. How are you, Jace?
Good, mate, good.
He took the boatel around.
Yeah, took the boatel around with Luke.
How good's that? Yet you got to drag your own accommodation to the mouth of Shady.
Yeah. You know, it's not a bad thing.
How long did it take you to get there?
I think it was 25 hours.
Yeah.
And from where, Jason?
From sort of Dundee, near Dundee.
Oh, yeah.
And then you camped and had a fish, did you, fella?
Yeah, we went out pretty much every day, but we only sort of did an hour or so every day because he was giving it a bit of a refit.
Yep.
Put in new aircon and different things and painting it, and we're doing that most of the day. But when the tide was right, we were sort of going for a bit of a look.
Staying mostly coastal creeks, Jase?
Well, I pretty much only sort of hit swim.
All right.
Because it's nice and close, but, had a bit of a flick around the mouth and looked around, and, we sort of caught a few fish mostly in swim.
And you said you were only popping out for that hour when the tide was right. What was that tide? What were you looking for?
Pretty much sort of, because it was sort of bigger tide, so to get in the swim you need the top of the tide. So we're sort of fishing, say, the first bit of the run in and then the turn and then as it runs out.
Yeah, so over the top, you mean?
Over the top of the tide, yeah.
Yeah. And did you find the tides were big enough to hold the floodwater back in swim?
Oh, yeah.
It stilled right up?
It was still coming out over the top, but, it was pushing up in there. You're getting the dirty water underneath and then the clear water coming over the top.
Oh, how exciting is it?
Yeah.
And did mullet come out with it?
No, not a lot of mullet.
Or bait, yeah.
No, not really. There's good fish there. The fish were all pretty much around the same size, all around 80 centimetres.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of smaller ones. I saw a couple of boats, like over the weekend there when we had a big influx of boats come through. There was probably, a few metres caught.
Yeah, right. Oh, he's gone. Whoops. Jason, just as he was about to tell us about the metres, we might go back to Jason in just a second with any joy. Allegations about
double pluggers.
The value of high-end boutique thongs. And was it the Garbo simply wants to say, Matthew, you're just wrong.
That's all.
You're wrong. Mm. The trend-setting fishos cannot and will not influence in any way me to stop wearing my black and white double plugger thongs. Still on which, the fashion stakes, which I know you always enjoy discussing on Tales from the Tinny, Rob, I have an Austrian mate who has recently been to Europe, and he reckons the new wave of, if you and I want to continue to be trendsetters and keep up and keep ahead, the new wave of fashion sweeping through the well-chiselled and well-tanned men of Europe is urban camo.
That's wrong too.
Apparently camouflage is all the rage amongst the metrosexuals through Europe, to the point where he's even spotting people on the beach around Europe-type area, I can't remember where it was, in camouflage budgie smugglers. Camo budgie smugglers. So if you're looking to keep up with the trends in the territory or keep ahead of the game, give camo budgie smugglers a go with your black and white flip-flops, and
Jason,
you'll be well ahead.
Jason, I apologise. I dropped you off there, fella, just as you were getting to the crux of the story.
The meteries.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of meteries caught that I saw, like one guy caught one right in the boat next to me.
In swim,
yeah. There was about 8 or 9 boats all along the left-hand side as you go up. And these guys were a bit green, I think. They hadn't been there before. They tied up out the front and then got abused because they tied up on the opposite side to everyone else. And
where you wanted to cast?
We were up a bit further, but... Yeah. We caught a couple of fish, and I think while they were getting abused, they saw that. So they come up and park just in front of us and then cast them back towards us, and he pulled one pretty much off the bow of the boat.
Fantastic. So that is those creeks, Swim, Love, Caymore, Marsh, whatever, even though we are early in the season, really have to be hit at this time of the year with the bigger tide over the top, don't they, Jason?
I think so. Well, that's, and probably if you want to lock in and get the first of that push in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you're willing to commit.
Yeah, commit to it. You'll have a bit of time where it's probably going to be a bit dull, but I think that first of the pushing tide is when you get the good fishing. We couldn't do that because we couldn't commit the whole day because Lukey was fitting out the hotel, but
yeah,
worked with it. But that's the time I'd want to be there.
Good on you, Jace.
No worries, mate.
Thanks for that, and sorry for cutting you off in your prime. We'll keep up with you there as the runoff continues.
Yeah, absolutely, and a great report, Jason, from having been out there for a full week. Hey, we'll catch up again soon.
Steve Compayne is top in Tackle World. G'day, Steve. How are you going?
Yeah, good morning, fellas.
There's lots of stories of frustration.
Mate, we haven't been out for about a month. Yesterday was our first day out because of the westerly swell and everything. But yesterday was pretty good, mate. They got, I think there was a group of 10. They got 23 goldies, sort of up to 5 kilos. So
no problems.
Nice.
Pretty good for a half day anyway.
Yeah,
half day. So you're in close, what, around Charles-ish way or somewhere there?
Just wind off Charles, mate. It was awesome.
Yeah, we've been hearing a few reports over recent weeks of good-sized goldies just in there.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. Well, you know, it was yesterday, and they're out again today, so the weather looks quite nice this morning standing outside, so should be a good day also.
Great weekends and great tides to hit the blues, Steve.
Yeah, mate, just watch out for the weather, but any small tinnies going out, because there is a good swell rolling out there and it doesn't take much to whip it up.
Roger. Yeah, good to know. Hey, meanwhile, the news is on our hammer, fella. What about reports from the shop? You hearing many being caught around the traps?
One of my skippers was down the Wilshires yesterday. He got 20-odd fish, nothing big, 60s, 65, but nice chrome fish. Shane was supposed to ring me from this... But he goes Shady, but he didn't ring me last night, so I'm not sure what's happening there. But I've heard a few good reports from Shady Camp.
Yeah, that's encouraging stuff from Waddy and Jason just now.
Yeah.
You know, they're around.
Yeah, they're around, mate. Daly's sort of still hard to get there because of the roads closed and everything.
Yep. Tough on the south? You hearing the same there?
I've heard a few good reports from the south. There was some good fish caught at Six Pack, and Brook also. There was some fish up to sort of 85. That was a couple of days ago. So, yeah, it's all starting to look really good, mate.
Mm, but, so also back to the goldies, some from Fenton too.
Yeah, I don't know. There was, like I said, we were just out, done 2 half-days yesterday. Morning was a little bit hard, but the afternoon was really good, yeah.
Good stuff, Steve.
All right, fellas.
Mate, we got to fly. Where are you hitting for your first attack on the February fever or runoff madness?
No, I'm going to see how Shane went.
Yeah.
When he gets back this afternoon, I'm going to head out on Tuesday, Wednesday when everyone gets back. So I don't know yet. I'll have a think about it. It might be the South, or might even go to the Wilshires and give it another go.
All right, mate. Let us know how you go. Good luck during the week.
No worries. Thanks, Dave.
Steve Compayne, Top End Tackle World.
That's about all we've got time for in this inning, except Kai's called in to say 100-centimetre barra yesterday afternoon was caught, and also that his pontoon has busted and floated downstream from Goat Island. He's asked people to be cautious and tow it back if he can. Also, they had a disaster rescue attempt last weekend. One boat sunk while they're trying to retrieve the pontoon. Tell us from the Tinny News, time 7 o'clock.